Welcome to worship here at St Andrew's this morning, particularly for the carol service. Everyone is welcome. Our words for the gathering are inside the front of your order of service. We hear words ancient, modern, postmodern, and progressive, and sing words old and new, rhyme and free, in minor and major key. Today we celebrate the advent again of new life. We celebrate new beginnings in the most unexpected of places. Today we celebrate another brand new start for the world. On this day, the candle for joy is lit anew. Our prayer is that joy may abound in our world. Indeed, welcome on this sunny pre-Christmas day. It's good to see you all. And there are several people here I know who are here as guests, were guests yesterday at Jim and Maxine's 50th wedding anniversary. You might like to wave your hands in the air so we can identify you. Look at them. Yes, they're dotted around. We had no less than 13 ministers at the occasion, so none of us had any fun. But sincerely, congratulations to Jim and Maxine, and their best man gave a very moving and appropriate tribute to them, and how much they being married for 50 years has benefited a whole lot of us as well. So congratulations and our love to you. After the service, there is morning tea, which is augmented by goodies from yesterday, so do come and have another cup of tea and coffee with us so that you can chat a little bit more. And we're very pleased to welcome, now this is going to test my pronunciation, Tekla Klebetnica. Is that right? Yeah. And they're going to lead us in carols later. They had a concert here last night. We're moving them up a little in the program because they have a plane to catch, and apparently an accordion takes a lot of repacking in order to get it through for freight. Is it security that's the problem? Security that's the problem. So they'll be on the program later, a little bit sooner than you might expect from the order of service. But welcome everyone, and I'm sure that we'll enjoy singing our hearts out for Advent. Let us pray. The phrase, carols from a cheerful throat, comes to mind. And we come filled with the joy of anticipation, filled with the joy of waiting for what we know will come, filled with the joy that we have been blessed. And so as we gather here today, our prayer is that in these moments, there will be that special moment that touches our hearts, that sets us on the journey with a new spring in our step, that speaks to our heart and lightens our soul. And so today, we are here, God's people in this place where many carols have been sung over many years, glad to welcome the Christ child. And so we say together the Jesus Prayer, which is on the laminated card in your order of service. Eternal Spirit, life giver, pain bearer, love maker, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world, your heavenly will be done by all created beings, your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Now we come to the time when we light the rainbow candle. The rainbow is the symbol of inclusion, and we use it now to indicate that children are included in our congregation. So, Emily, I see you waiting there. Come on up. Anyone else who's regular? You know what to do, don't you? So, we take that one first. Light that, whoops. Okay, light that one. Good, and then you blow that one out without blowing anything else out. Excellent, right. Do you want to take a seat in the front there? And now there are some more children too. Do you want to come forward? We're going to light the Advent wreath. Cunningham grandchildren, be brave, be brave. We've got more candles to light here. We need more people. We'll light the candle. Margaret, we'll just light the candle first. Can I have you three up here? This is perfect. We've got three candles to light. Okay. Let's see if the congregation remembers. What's the first candle of Advent, people? Hope. Okay. Would you like to light that? This one? You don't? Do you want to light it with me? Put your hand on mine. That's right. We'll go up there. That's the candle of hope. And we hope that your forehead will feel better. What's the next one? Peace. I'm sure there's lots of peace in your household. Okay. And today, it's the candle of joy. Well done. Excellent. Thank you. I get to blow out the taper. Okay. Excuse me a minute. To talk to you about feelings today, because I was thinking about those candles and I was particularly thinking about joy. And joy is a special kind of happiness. It's not just happiness, it's the kind of happiness that really comes up from deep down inside you when you're absolutely, really, really, really happy, you know. So first of all, if we start here, we can be really sad, can't we? really sad. Can you put on the sad face? You were pretty sad yesterday when you bumped yourself, weren't you? Yeah, that's right. It's pretty bad. And then there's a kind of a not so sad, but, you know, life's not going really well, you know. So you might have a little frown. That's a good face, Emily. Yeah, that's a good, not very, very sad, but a little bit sad. And then what about an okay face? You know, nothing exciting's going on. Yep, that's right. You look pretty okay. Yep, nothing really exciting. Pardon? And then let's move into happy. Oh, you're happy because you've got a book. Jingle Bells, Rudolph Smells. Very interesting book. Okay. So let's move into a little... Well, we just were happy, weren't we? We just laughed and things are funny and it's good. But joy is kind of right in your kind of stomach and it sits there and it's lovely. And, you know, I think that your grandparents have known that quite a lot. And we had a lot of joy yesterday. Grandma. Right. And she's coming to see you, isn't she? Yeah, that'll be joy, won't it? You'll be joyful then, won't you? So it's good, isn't it, to be joyful? It's good to have those moments when you celebrate being joyful. Because you've got, sometimes you've got to grab those moments because they sometimes then go away and we're back to, okay. So it's always good to know how you're feeling and it's good to know to say what you are when you're feeling it. Like, I was really interested when... Is it JJ? Your JJ? Pardon? Dan. Dan, when you bumped your head. You just let us all know that it hurt, didn't you? Yeah, that's right. Until it didn't hurt so much. So, everyone here, I think, today is feeling a bit joyful. And sometimes you can be feeling really sad in other parts of your life, but the joy is still there. You can still access it. Do you want two front teeth for Christmas? No? They might not be here by Christmas. That looks really good. Yes, that's something to look forward to. They're coming. Good. But we're sad today because after that lovely play last week, or before the lovely play last week, Jess, who's been taking the Rainbow Room, told me that she's going to go to another university next year. She's transferring to Waikato because that's where her family lives and her dad's not very well. So Jess is here today for the last Rainbow Room of the year, but she won't be here next year. So that's a bit sad, isn't it? I think that's sad. But we have a little present for her, and we found out, everybody, to our horror at the staff Christmas dinner, that she hasn't watched the movie Love Actually. Oh. So Jess, stand up. You've got to stand up when you're leaving as well as when you're arriving. So Jess is being a really good older daughter and she's going back to support her family in the Waikato. I couldn't find a cow of any description to buy for her. She's just lucky that onesies aren't in the shops at the moment. They've got her a Frisian onesie. But this is for you. It's Love Actually, which you need to watch. No person has a complete life without watching Love Actually. And there's a book about... Reformation in England, a novel. She's fascinated by the Reformation. I don't know why. Okay. So we wish you all the best, and your father particularly, but your whole family. And thank you for your work with us.
Thank you.
That's really great. So we now stand in a circle. So hold hands. Now visiting kids. So. There's a room upstairs called the Rainbow Room and fun can be had there and questions can be asked and people generally have a good time. So you're very welcome to go there if you like. If you want to stay with your family, you can. But this is Jess and Margaret's going too, so they'll look after you. So we wish you all the best as you go to the Rainbow Room today and we hope that you will be able to ask questions, have fun. I think I might know what you're going to do. And we all say... We bless you. Amen. Okay. See you later then. What do you want? what you want to do. And we're going to pass the piece, whatever it says in the program.
Excerpts from John's Gospel, chapter 3. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Verily, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit."
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising the God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests."
Glory, 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 glory Nativity by Joy Cowley. Look now, it's happening again. Love, like a high spring tide, is swelling to fullness and overflowing the banks of our small concerns. And here again is the star, that white flame of truth, blazing the way for us through a desert of tired words. Once more comes the music, angel song that lifts our hearts and tunes our ears to the harmony of the universe, making us wonder how we ever could have forgotten. And now the Magi within us gathers up gifts of gold and myrrh, while that other part of ourselves, the impulsive, reckless shepherd, runs helter-skelter with arms outstretched to embrace the wonder of it all. We have no words to contain our praise. We ache with awe, we tremble with miracle, as once again, in the small, rough stable of our lives, Christ is born.
Pastures green and tussle brown, when sheep come in for shearing, remember shepherds who bow down with angels wide of hearing. At night the southern cross above is seen in nature's ceiling. Remember the way to King's revealing. Praise God for the moon's end is sun. From truth and faith must stay on.
This love for us is displayed. Marcus Borg unwraps the nativity narratives. Borg believes the nativity stories should be seen as metaphorical narratives. Nowadays, metaphor is often seen as less than factual, as if the symbolic meaning is somehow less than the factual, he said. Pretty much every story in the Bible is there because it has a more than factual meaning. And this is why our ancestors told these stories. These stories are parabolic overtures to the Gospels. In general, parables are about meaning. The meaning and truth of a parable is not dependent on its factuality. It doesn't matter if there really was a good Samaritan, a prodigal son, and to get into an argument about whether there was would be to miss the point. The point of parables is their meaning. Parables can be truth-filled, truthful, whether they happened or not. Jesus told parables about God. His followers told parables about him. In short, the birth stories are about meaning. Believe whatever you want about them. Now let's talk about what they mean. Just as an overture to a symphony or opera sounds the central themes of a longer work that follows, Matthew and Luke wrote their overtures after they knew what was in the rest of the Gospels, Borg said. These are not Christmas pageants for children. They are the Gospels in miniature.
For the word in the scriptures, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks. Amen. Let us pray. As we ponder the story again this year, may there be a moment when we come to a new understanding, when new light breaks in and we see afresh. So may it be. Amen. The miracle of being born human. Sometimes it takes a while for the implications of our changing beliefs to make their full impact. It's over a period of time that my own belief in the divine has morphed and changed from an external God only out there, up there actually, on a throne, Lord of all and almighty chess player. This was a very secure position, which I mostly enjoyed, because somehow I had come through a relatively fundamentalist upbringing with an enduring sense, nevertheless, that this external God loved me and wanted my good. In fact, it's with surprise now that I look back and realise that even the goriness of the crucifixion somehow got through to me as the Almighty God going to inordinate lengths to save me from the perdition I deserved, according to the theology I was taught at the time. I haven't changed to thinking I'm perfect and that I need no transforming grace at all, but the location of God for me has changed. The imminence of the sacred, its presence within me, is more important and more centre stage for me now. And I'm less directed by an authoritarian voice outside of me, although I still take notice of the wise advice and guidance in Scripture, and more these days, though I am guided by a careful reading of the voice within me, voice with a capital V in my script. And though I was conscious of the shift happening within myself, I was still for quite a while
unaware of its wider implications. My previous view of God had definitely left me with the impression that God, the divine, the sacred, the numinous, were the only okay beings in the universe. I and my accompanying human beings were, in comparison, second class, second rate, inferior, and even if Calvin and his mates were to be believed, depraved. I always regretted that in my goody two-shoes phase, I didn't take full advantage of that label, depraved. I might have had more fun. I didn't realise till recently how pervasive this ordering of the world was within my psyche. God and the holy were good, humankind was bad. And so I missed out on the miraculous nature of what it is to be born human. On Christmas Day, Fiona will be focusing on the baby born that day. And just recently, I've known families where babies have been born into them and watched the joy and the fascination shown by, in the one case, an aunt, and in another, the grandparents. It's a wonderful fascination and joy to behold. And watching the children in the nativity play last week also brought back some of that wonder and awe at the birth and development of human beings. The way children are little people, almost adults in miniature, as well, of course, as being exactly themselves, incomparable with any other human being, adult, child, or sage. Though occasionally, a child will amaze us with their wisdom and perspicacity, and we say, she's an old soul. And certainly last week, with 3 5- to 6-year-olds walking on as the 3 wise people, we were reminded that wisdom is not the preserve of grown-ups. Just as well. Last week reminded us of the 2 halves of the Christmas story. Joy Cowley names them in the poem that Wendy read to us earlier. And now the Magi within us gathers up gifts of gold and myrrh, while that other part of ourselves, the impulsive, reckless shepherds, runs helter-skelter with arms outstretched to embrace the wonder of it all. We too have that wise aspect within these miraculous human bodies of ours. We are the sage. We are the thinker. We have knowledge of the divine and the everyday. We know. We intuit. We perceive. And in this country and this parish, we may also own gold. As a mainly middle-class congregation, we earn or have earned money which our wisdom can put to good use in the world, whether for our own development or that of others. And as Joy Cowley reminds us, we are at times impulsive and reckless like shepherds, not moneyed, not even respected much in the community. A shepherd's word was not accepted in the court of law in Jesus' time, as they were often nomadic and frequently smelly and dirty. Yet here in this Christmas narrative, they are given the role of first outside eyewitnesses of this significant birth. It's another signpost in the symbolic story of the differences about Jesus from the usual child born in the Middle East. It's another part of the story that whispers to us, watch this baby and the man that he will become one day. So that God voice whispers to me daily, not only at Christmas, sometimes in the measured tones of a sagely wise person, other times with the breathless excitement of a shepherd whose world has been suddenly filled with angel song. Joy's poem has captured poetically what Marcus Borg states more academically in the contemporary reading. These magical, marvellous birth narratives tell us of a physical birth, but express its truth and meaning in a spiritual way so that we can take it all in. We can be reborn again and again, not only as human beings, but as spiritual beings too. John Main, who is the former leader of the Worldwide Community of Christian Meditators, keeps on emphasising in his work that the point of meditating is always to begin meditating again and again. that each time we sit to spend those moments in quiet, we are beginning again. And at Christmas particularly, the meaning of these stories is that there is always a new beginning, not only each year, but each day, and not only each day, but each minute. Isn't it true that when we are still enough in this busy world to accurately hear those wise and those shepherd voices, still enough to hear that voice? As Joy Cowley puts it, isn't it true that we have no words to contain our praise? We ache with awe. We tremble with miracle. As once again, in the small, rough stable of our lives, Christ is born. So may it be. It was an extra special Christmas surprise when we were contacted by Donald Morris and told about this Polish group who were going to be having a concert in our church last night and asking if they could sing today. And so, yes, was the answer. And we're also, I didn't mention the Polish ambassador is here supporting them, or them supporting him. I don't know how it works, but welcome as well. So we will now enjoy three carols that they're going to play, and we're allowed to sing along. So you've got the words in your order of service. Welcome to the stage.
Hey. rest. Old Mary's love is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthem sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him now, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good people, all for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. Nails bare shall pierce him through, the cross is bare from love that's true. Hail, hail, the word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. The one who transformation brings, the loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise the song on high, the mother sing her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Thank you very, very much. That's lovely. And that last tune, Green Sleeves, isn't one we sing often, actually, is it, in church? So it was lovely to hear that. And we wish you well on your travels. There are some CDs, if people are interested in them afterwards. And we hope that the accordion makes its way through all the processes correctly. So they will need to go because the planes don't wait, even for beautiful Polish trios. So thank you very much again. Thank you. And our offerings for work here and beyond will be received. We give because we were first given to. This Advent we bring food for others and money for this church, with an extra consciousness of the importance of the season. Many will be without what they need to live a good life. May these gifts aid their well-being. So may it be. Amen. Please be seated. And if anyone has notices, could they come forward to the front row? I want to encourage you to make sure that you've got a Christian World Service envelope and that you use it. Christian World Service is a reliable organisation. It was trusted by the government some time ago when the government was subsidising aid agencies one for one, certain selected aid agencies. And you will see in the orders of service as we've gone through Advent the different partner organisations that are being assisted. So do make use of this. If you are putting a cheque in it or simply writing your credit card details, you can seal the envelope and simply post it. It would be lovely if you put that you were from St Andrew's Parish, and then the whole parish gets the credit for the total amount. If you are wanting to put cash in it, please hand it in an offering during one of our services. There will be no offering on Christmas Day, so you need to be organised before then. Also, there will be no morning tea on Christmas Eve morning and Christmas Day. Now, the second is more usual. No morning tea after Christmas Eve morning service is not so usual. And if you're already thinking, what am I going to do without a cup of coffee after the church that day? Well, volunteer with three others and we'll put it back on the programme. Just note too that there are some clues there as to what particularly the DCM Food Bank needs this Christmas. Other notices?
Some of you will know that Margaret Mayman's mother, Isabel, died on Thursday last week. I wanted to make sure that everybody knew, and I just want to read to you this very beautiful tribute that Margie put on Facebook to her mother. I hope I can get through it. She posted it on Friday evening. Early yesterday morning, my beloved mother, Isabel Ann Mayman, died at home in Timaru. With our father Michael, she loved my brother and sister and I into being who we are. Isabel was open-minded and open-hearted, deeply ethical, wise, gracious, and passionate for justice. When we were children, she was a devoted mother. When we were young adults, she became an extraordinary community volunteer and advocate. She also returned to her early career as a Karatani nurse, where she was known as the baby whisperer because of her ability to get crying babies to sleep. She was a Girl Guide Commissioner, South Canterbury National Council of Women President, and an advocate for the Women's Community Centre. She served on a Hospital Ethics Committee and on the Child, Youth and Family Panel. These and other contributions were recognised in 1988 when she was made a member of the New Zealand Order of Merit. At Easter, Isabel was diagnosed with a recurrence of cancer and was not expected to live very long. It is nearly Christmas and we have been so blessed to have had her loving, brave presence with us for 8 more months. There were some rough times, but our father has been extraordinary in his care of Isabel, such that she was able to remain at home in the house she loved besides the sea in Timaru until the end of her life. Our family gathered a week ago as her health deteriorated and it became clear that the end was close. This week we were with Isabel constantly as she dwelled in that space between life and death. We held her hands, cared for her body, shared our memories and sang to her. Even when she could no longer speak, she smiled beautifully for all of us and especially my father. After 60 years of marriage, they undoubtedly loved and adored one another. Yesterday morning, my father woke us at 4:30 a.m. We crowded into the room and accompanied her through the end of her life. She died 2 hours later. We can let her go because her suffering is no more, but still we grieve. On Tuesday, we will celebrate her life as a gift to all who knew and loved her.
Morena, just want to make a plug if you're going to do some last-minute Christmas shopping to remember all the op shops that are raising money for worthwhile causes in our community. And in particular, I wanted to draw your attention to a fabulous new op shop that opened recently called Auntie Dana's, named after Dana DeMilo, a pioneering trans woman. That's raising money for gender minorities Aotearoa to open Wellington's first gender centre hopefully next year. So that's in the, you probably know it, the Radical House by the entrance to the motorway up there at, I think it's 128 Abel Smith Street. But if you want details, Auntie Dana, D-A-N-A, or come and see me afterwards. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Rosemary Lawrence. I need to speak about rosters. Because Christmas comes on a Monday, we have a regular flurry of festive services, and that has put a strain on our veritably wonderful volunteers, which is why morning tea disappeared from 10 a.m. service. But to my left in the front here came a cry from Graham, "I'll do it," and a cry from Jim, "I'll do it too." So that's two. It would be good if you could tap me on the shoulder if you want to join the twosome. That would be great. What do I need to say? On the 24th in the evening, 7:30, the people who are serving sherry and cake, I think you know who you are. You're not appearing in the list, but you are needed. And so thank you very much for a year full of very generous people who volunteer to do all the many bits of the service that make us run so smoothly and are very helpful to Susan. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Graham Howell, and I've got my benefit rights advocate hat on. And been a rather traumatic week, I guess, for people on benefits. The good news was the mini budget, which, when you compare December 27's mini budget to the last December mini budget in 1990, that Herald announced the benefit cuts that came in the following year. So it's good news for families, children on benefits, remarkably good news. The disappointing and sad news is that one of my clients, a couple, she has had medical misadventure, needs various things to help her through her life. That Friday I got a sincere apology for the service that they were provided, because the additional documentation that was provided was simply put in the rubbish bin. That additional documentation was medical practitioners, quotes for clothing because she is incontinent and she needs special bras because of her failed medical misadventure with her breast cancer stuff. That sincere apology followed on from a simple spoken apology in November for service delivery failing and a written apology at the beginning of December for service delivery failing. I don't know what comes beyond a sincere apology, but I am angry and saddened about the level of service delivery beneficiaries get in this country. And this morning, the Child Poverty Action Group report into how beneficiaries are treated nationwide is released. The CPAG's website would no doubt have that report there, and I guess have a read of it. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm pretty sure I know exactly what it will be saying, and I guess it will be sobering thoughts. And I guess I'm sorry to be talking about this on joyous Sunday and within our Advent calendar, but it's just part of the reality and I think needs to be sobered up a bit. Thank you.
Morning, I'm John Schrader. Just a wee reminder to my worm farm fertiliser clients. You can order today and pay and I'll deliver next Sunday. So see me over morning tea if you want. Thank you.
Let me tell you, it was, I've told you before, John's worm farm fertiliser ad that made me decide to come to St Andrews. And Graham, thank you for the work that you do with benefit advocacy. It obviously is very tough for you as well as for your clients. It's good that you're there. After church today, the Exploring the Faith group opportunity is open. I'm aware it's a busy time of year and people may not be able to stay, and this hasn't been well advertised, but the gear is there, it's all set up, and if people wish to have a last study session for the year, we're up in conference room 1. So that's where we are. And now Colma is going to lead us in the prayers.
Just a little word in advance. Do not be alarmed. I'm just changing the order of things a little bit this morning. Let us join together in prayer. In our upside down journey through Advent this year, may our eyes be open to see, may our ears be open to listen, and may our hearts be open to love. As the sun sparkles across the waters of our harbour and the bluest of skies are gently streaked in wisps of cloud, the crimson-red Pohutukawa blazes amidst this earliest of Wellington summers. We watch and wait. In our summer Advent journey, the candles of hope, peace and joy have already been lit. We watch as they shine and glimmer within their wreath. They burn brightly around the still to be lit Christ candle and candle of love. We pray that the flickering candle of hope continues to burn brightly and that darkness will never extinguish it. We pray for those who struggle to find hope in their lives. May we be beacons of hope in this world. We pray that the gentle, quiet flame of peace may continue to glow in our world. We pray that your peace may dwell within our hearts so that we will live in peaceful ways and so that peace may come to our world. We pray that the candle of joy will remind us of the joyful times that we have experienced in our lives. We pray that the flame of this candle will bring joy to those who face sorrow and sadness in their lives. We watch and wait. For this Advent's candle of love to be lit, so may its flame burn brightly wherever we are. May we always remember to love one another, to love ourselves, and to love our world. In the circle of prayer, we think today of the people of Canada. In New Zealand, we remember those in Parliament, and today we name Anna Hela, Kano Nata, Sui Suiki, and Ian Lees-Galloway, Labour Party MPs. Here in the Central Presbytery, we pray for the leaders and people of Pātea St Luke's Cooperating Church. And in the prayers from our book this morning, we pray for we who live and we in the holiness, all is in one ultimate knowledge of loving kindness forever. We pray for Sam Keller and Rhiannon Elizabeth Gibson, who are with us this morning, and we celebrate their engagement with them. And we also give thanks for two wonderful Golden Wedding Anniversary celebrations in our congregation this month. May Jim and Maxine, Wendy and Andrew have many more years of happiness together. We pray and give thanks for the long and full life of Isabel Maiman, much loved wife of Michael, loved mother of Margaret, Margaret, Mary and Jeff, mother-in-law of Claire, Steve and Robin, and loved grandmother of Andrew, Rory and Stella. May love surround them as they grieve for their loss, and may peace companion them in the days ahead. And we join all our prayers together with the prayer for St Andrew's that is on your Laminator card. If you're visiting this morning, please feel free to make this the prayer for your people and your place, as well as for us. We say together, renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow Christ, and a new spirit of love towards all people. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, the desire for beauty, and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do, and what we believe, the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen.
I forgot something very important. Sorry, Fiona. Fiona McDougall is leading the service. the gathering on Christmas Day, and we need two welcomers. Please let me know. Sorry.
See what you can do about it, and know that as you go, the love of God, the love of the voice, surrounds you every moment of every day.